Mr. Malone?
Here.
Ms. Gorman?
Here.
Mr. Foster?
Here.
Ms. Glasper? Not here currently. Ms. Harris?
Yes.
And Ms. Dalton?
Here.
All right, so welcome everybody. I know we have quite a few guests in the room, so thanks for coming this evening. And our next item on the agenda would be to approve the minutes from the November 5th, 2018 Grants Committee meeting. And assuming everybody's had adequate time to look at them, I'd entertain a motion to approve.
So moved. Second.
All right. And a motion and a second. Any discussion on those? All in favor of approving the minutes, aye?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Nay? No? And the minutes pass unanimously. So next up on the agenda, we would have public comment. So this would be the point where if anybody wants to opine or talk about any of the items on the agenda, now is kind of the time to do so. Traditionally, what we try to do is keep it to about 3 minutes, just to give everybody adequate time to talk that wants to. And then at about 2.5 minutes, I'll give like a little knock on the table, just to kind of give you the heads up if that's where you are in the time frame. So there's no particular order, just whoever would like to kind of start us off, feel free to stand up, just state your name, and then your address, and then where you're from, or why you're here, sorry. No address, they don't need that? Thank you. Okay, just state your name then, and what you're going to be talking about.
Good afternoon. My name is Kevin Powers. I'm the president and CEO of the Bank of Edwardsville. And I'm also the current president of the Southwestern Leadership Council of Illinois. I've been involved in this organization since I moved here 3.5 years ago, but the bank has been involved in this organization since the very beginning, back some 35 years ago. We are a nonprofit organization, which we have roughly 250 C-suite level executives that are part of this organization. Our primary focus and mission is to promote economic development in southwestern Illinois, with the primary focus currently being in Madison and St. Clair counties. We have a number of committees that work on economic development, workforce development, levies issues and alliance, multimodal transportation, all of which comes together to help improve Madison, St. Clair counties, to help bring more jobs, employment, tax base to our fine community. And as president of this organization, I'll greatly appreciate your support.
Thank you, Mr. Powers. Awesome. Next.
My name is Mark Shashik. I'm with Cassin's Transport as well as a couple other organizations like the bank. We've been involved with the Leadership Council from the beginning. I'm actually a third generation representative to the Leadership Council, so we've been around for a few years. I'm on the Education Committee with the Leadership Council, one of the 10 committees that Kevin mentioned. We run a leadership academy trying to teach businesses how to help their employees become better leaders. We run it for 2 years now. Each year it's getting better and better, and they're asking us to do more sessions and everything else. We also bring in state and federal leaders to come in to talk to us about education in the area, what they can do to help us, as well as sometimes we have to educate them on what the real world is on local issues. So anything that you can do to help support the Leadership Council, we'd be thrilled for. We try to do everything we can to give back to the communities. We'd like your help.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chairman, board members. My name is Jay Cordy from Highland, Illinois. I'm Client Relations Director for the Cordy Company. And I have been involved personally with Leadership Council Southwestern Illinois probably about 10 years or so. Our founder, Ralph Cordy, was one of the initial three gentlemen that kind of started the idea of this. And it was kind of in response to developing and helping develop and secure development on the Illinois side of the river. They saw what was could happen in St. Louis with the regional chamber, St. Louis Regional Chamber, and Ralph Cordy and Lazarson, and I forget the third person, but they said, we need something like this. We need a voice on the Illinois side. Myself personally am also chairman of the Military Affairs Committee of Leadership Council Southwestern Illinois, and the role of that committee is to work closely with Scott Air Force Base. Even though it's in St. Clair, obviously, as Scott Air Force Base goes, our whole region goes. some of the initiatives that Scott Air Force Base is working on with the Military Affairs Committee is the STEM development workforce, and as well as cyber security workforce. Again, I think for the roles and the group of 250 members of some of the top companies, employers, and grossing companies in the Madison County, St. Clair area, I think it's one of the finest organizations that I've ever been a part of as far as doing good for the entire region. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Mr. Fox. Anybody else like to speak? Mr. Chapman, you have to speak.
Yes, yeah. Mr. Michael. I'm Phil Chapman from County Board District 3, and I support the grant for the Leadership Council of Southwestern Illinois. Leadership Council serves to bring development and business to Madison County and the Metro East. As a major player, the Leadership Council brings wealth to our region. Since the Great Recession, Illinois has trailed neighboring Midwestern states. Those regions that have recovered have taken a regional approach to growth and vicarious pleasure in one another's mutual success. For Madison County to fail to maintain a seat at the regional table would be an unconscionable act, in my opinion, relegating our area perhaps to a second-rate economy. As one considers the funding comes from approximately 200 major businesses to the tune of $380,000, and the county money comes from UDAG, we see it costs the taxpayer no funds from the general fund. I urge my colleagues to support the Leadership Council of Southwest Illinois grant. The potential return on this effort is incredible in creating jobs, putting food on tables, clothes on backs, while increasing our tax base for schools. I urge you to please vote yes to untable and to approve the grant.
Thank you, Mr. Chapman. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Kim Durr. I'm here representing Chancellor Pembroke from SIUE. I serve as his chief of staff. And he regretted he couldn't be here today, but he asked me to come in and mention to you. He serves as chair of the Education Committee, which Mark was talking about earlier. And I just wanted to impress upon you the fact that that committee is looking at education as a whole for this entire region. It's PK through higher education. So we've got 36 members on that committee. They run the gamut of business and education, all areas of society. It's a very broad-based group, and they work very hard. So the incentive is there to really make sure that education in this region is enviable, and I think it has been to this point. We look forward to more of that. And the Leadership Council, I've been on that council for, I think, 2+ years now, and it's amazing to me. I look forward to the monthly meetings because there are so many people there from so many different walks of society and businesses and corporations and small business, that type of thing. It's an amazing combination, and the things that can happen out of that group are equally as amazing. So we appreciate your support, and if there are any questions that Chancellor Pembroke or I can forward to him, I'm happy to do that. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
David?
Yes, ma'am.
Can we ask some questions to some of these people?
I think we're really supposed to during public comment. Later on, when it's up for discussion, so here we can.
I'll mention too. Yeah. Dennis Lonsmeyer, Executive Director of America's Central Port in Granite City. And thank you all for allowing us to speak today. Appreciate that. And I want to thank the county for its past support of Leadership Council. It's been fantastic, very tremendous, and in terms of helping us get through some times and now growing to what Dr. Rhonda Sauger has been able to do with 225 members, all C-level businesses, C-level suite individuals that are in this and supporting this. Leadership Council brings together business, industry, government, education, and labor in a one-of-a-kind thing for Southwestern Illinois that really does not exist anyplace else. I'm a past chairman, past president of Leadership Council, and I will tell you I still sit on the Southwestern Illinois Transportation Enhancement Committee, been on the Military Affairs Committee in the past, the Public Policy, and a few others. I will tell you, if it were not for Leadership Council Southwestern Illinois, we would have missed out on a lot of grants for Madison County that would not have been there otherwise. To do what the site committee, Southwestern Illinois Transportation Enhancement Committee, has done by teeing up projects for the region and pushing and promoting those at the federal and state level has been tremendous for all of Madison County. Again, I thank you for your past support and certainly would appreciate and look forward to future support,
sir. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like a few words. Today I spoke with Rich Connor, who was retired from Ameren, in charge of economic development. He was President Kevin Powers also, he was past president of the Leadership Council, strongly urges continued support of the policy. And I want to say that this support for the Southwestern Illinois Leadership Council has been 2012, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and I urge it for 18. Again, I think it was something good that the past administration did. Also, Regional Superintendent Bob Diver couldn't be here today, but he also urges support for this. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who'd like to speak during public comment? No? All right, hearing none, let's move on with our agenda. So next up on the item is an approval of reports, which I don't believe there are any. Yeah. So then traditionally we get into new business. What I didn't know before we were to do this, kind of just wondering your all's opinion, is given the fact that a lot of our guests here this evening are here on an item that would be down in old business, and it might take, could take maybe 30 to 45 minutes before we got there. If we wanted to suspend the agenda, there would have to be a motion to do that. You'd have to move old business up a little bit. I'm not saying you have to, I'm just saying if that was an option you all wanted to do, I think you could suspend the agenda and move it up, and then there still had to be a motion to take it off the table, and then an obviously motion to approve. So three things would have to happen, but is there any thoughts on that?
I'll make a motion to suspend the procedures to move old business up to...
And I'll second.
Okay, we'll move it up to current. Is that kind of what you're thinking? All right. So they have a motion to suspend the agenda and to move old business up to the next item above new business. We have a motion and then a second. I think we should have to, is there any discussion on that? We'll do a roll call vote then, I guess, Ms. Gorman?
Yes.
Ms. Dalton?
Yes.
Ms. Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Mullen?
Aye.
Mr. Harris and Mr. Jones.
Aye.
All right, and that passes unanimously. So now old business has been moved to our next item on the agenda. So now we would entertain, if anybody would so choose, a motion to move the Southwestern Leadership Council item off the table.
I make a motion to remove the Southwestern Leadership Council resolution that was tabled to bring it off the table.
All right, have a motion.
Second.
I need a second. I have a second. Is there any discussion on that item?
Just one question. Mm-hmm. I thought that the person that tabled it had to be the one to bring it off the table.
I don't think that's right, but it's a good, valid question. Phil, do you know?
I do not believe that that is accurate. I believe that anyone can move to bring it off the table.
I don't know, is that a,
who's
you feel better about
this
that?
Committee, obviously.
Well, I know you claim to know all about Robert's rules, but I would say please check it.
But I do think that I'm correct about that, but I will check it, actually, if you'd like.
I would appreciate it.
I only answered the question as a courtesy to the chairman. Let me turn on my computer here.
Who tabled it?
I did.
I don't think that. I think anybody can take
remember.
It off the table. That was my understanding.
I have no idea who tabled it.
Anybody?
Right.
Yeah?
It follows the Open Meetings Act. Once it's been tabled, anyone can ask that it be moved off the table. If not, you table it. Because committees changed, even though Bruce is still on this committee. If something been tabled and somebody was no longer on the committee, it would never be able to be taken off the table.
Right. All right, valid point. So very good question. Thank you. Any further discussion? No, then we'll do a roll call vote. Ms. Gorman?
Yes.
Ms. Dalton?
No.
No. Ms. Coombe?
We're just voting to take it off the table.
Just to take it off the table.
Okay, right. Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Ms. Harris?
Yes.
Mr. Jones? Aye. All right, it's now off the table and would be our next item on the agenda. So now we would need a motion to approve the Southwest, the grant of $30,000 to the Southwestern Leadership Council.
We have some questions.
Yeah.
Okay. One thing that I remember asking the last time I'm anyone that's not supportive, everyone's going to be supportive of Scott Air Force Base. We know that. And I'd asked the question the last time I can remember that, you know, St. Clair County is going to be supportive of Scott Air Force Base. Why are they not members?
Scott Air Force, St. Clair County is a member.
I thought they weren't any longer.
They haven't provided us with financial support, but they've always been on the membership rolls, as is the chairman of the
Okay, and then the other question I remember asking was how many employees you had and what your budget was.
We have three employees, three staff, full-time.
And full-time staff, and then what was the budget, annual budget?
Roughly $400,000.
So then this would be, if it's $30,000, you were talking 10%, 8%, 7% of the budget, something like that.
Okay, and there's also a question about individual membership, which we had talked about for at length, that we were considering that. Has there been a change in that idea that we could not have individual membership so we can have more people on the board rather than just having one or two or three people?
The funding that is being discussed is supportive of our programs, and that each member of the Leadership Council has the option to have three members on the board. That was a motion long time ago, 35 years ago, not to have any specific group dominate. Right now, the chairman is a member, Bob Diver is a member, that gives one open seat. In terms of people attending meetings, Chairman Prenzler has brought quite a lot of people, and so has Bob Diver, as guests to meetings. And so that would be something we would welcome.
Mm-hmm. So there's two now and one open?
One open, yes, correct. But that would apply to any member. Because in the beginning, the idea was from Chancellor Earl Lazarson that we would not have any one group or company dominate the council.
How can St. Clair still be a member if they're not paying their...
Each of the chairmen has a guest membership, so they're free.
So they're free, so what's the purpose of the $30,000 if we can have a free member? I don't understand that.
So it's not paying for membership, it's helping to support our programs, which are transportation, school programs, things of that nature.
But we're allowed one vote, right?
It's not necessarily a vote. The $30,000 is to help support all the programs from levies to Scott Air Force Base and on down the line. So you actually would have three options there. The chairman, Bob Diver, and another option if you so chose.
Is there a possibility that our economic department group, that we could have like three or four of them on a committee for economic development?
Oh, sure, and they have attended in that capacity now. So at the board of directors level, you have one available seat, but at the committee level, you can send as many people as you like to any of our committees, as any of the 10. So economic development, education, any of those, military affairs.
You know, if I could, the military affairs committee that I'm chairman on, probably the majority of the folks that attend that, there's probably 50 to 60 people that attend those military affairs committee. I would say a lot of those aren't members and cannot be members on leadership council because they're mayors of Shiloh and Belleville and the surrounding communities. That committee the purpose of that committee is how to support the Scott Air Force Base, the communication both ways. So there, that's just an example of the folks that are involved through a leadership council committee that aren't on the leadership council board.
It's the same thing on the education committee. A lot of those members are representatives from
Lindenwood, the different colleges and universities in the area, they're not all members. Not all the people that attend are actual members.
And Bruce, not to put you on the spot, but you've served on this committee for a while, right? And this
yes,
is something you've done in the past, right?
I don't want to rehash the entire history because the people that have been on this committee know the entire history. Why this was tabled, we had a discussion about this. We had a discussion about the value of the $30,000, and that's why this has been tabled for how many months now, right? But, and if I'm the one who tabled it, that's why I tabled it, because of the discussion we had, and I'm not going to get back into all those details. It's clear that this is important to the chairman. It's clear that it's important to the people in the room. I supported it all of the years it came, and you probably did too, Judy, because you've been on this committee longer than I have, probably. I am willing to give this another chance and to put the feet to the fire to see if we're getting our $30,000 out of this. Because I'm not, it's, obviously it's not going to go away. This may be just something that we have to deal with today. As the chairman has said, this is part of their budget. I know some of us aren't happy about it because of the discussion we had, I think like a year ago. I know it's not that long ago, but that's where we are.
How do the three seats get filled? Is it Chairman Presler, do you fill those three seats? Or, I mean, you say Bob Diver is on there. I suspect he's been there for some time.
He has. He's been probably there for 20-plus years. The chairman have always been there of
right.
the counties, and so that's a natural one. The third seat is open, so that would really depend on who the chairman and you all would want in that seat.
Can we have an idea? Obviously, Bob Diver's not going to be around much longer either. So,
I've never felt constrained in terms of people who I've invited. In fact, Superintendent Diver, Dr. Diver, invited the Teacher of the Year to the last meeting, and he told me today that he's always been able to invite guests, and I have also never a problem, even on a late date. So, there's never been that sort of a I really haven't considered it that restrictive. So I think it's important for other departments to be there, to be represented, for example, community development and also employment and training and others as need be, planning and development perhaps. But I've never felt limited. There is a requirement to wear a tie.
You did clarify that for men, correct?
Yes. Okay.
If I may again, Mr. Chairman, if we do this, these are the people that should be going.
Yeah, I think that's where
exactly.
We think we'd like to see them on
there. We discussed that extensively, that Trudy and who, James and who else?
Tony.
Oh, and Tony.
Tony.
Tony
could be there.
Yeah, so it could be the chairman and then Trudy and Tony.
And James. Wasn't James, too?
Can participate, but I'm talking
right.
about
the three.
The three. Right. Trudy and Tony. Him.
That's what it should be.
Right.
Yeah.
And I believe, and this is paid with UDAG funds, right? So this is not property tax dollars,
it's not
right?
Grand.
Let's. The reason I said that is because it's up. We're in. It sounds like no matter what, it's kind of what do we want to contribute, which is why I use that language. But yeah, Clint, you're right. Thanks for calling it out. Appreciate that.
And I said it was quite common for this just to be okay, fine, here you go, there's
right.
your money.
Right.
I think there has been like a renewed fervor, and it's in a good way to question a lot of the St. Louis Chamber. One was questioned, I think, and where transportation, we just had that one that where you know Tom was doing some homework on. I think it is good to you know question what are these you know that we're contributing to, because there's quite a bit you know in different committees, so it's definitely not a bad thing. Any other questions or comments? Any committee members? Yes, Mr. Chapman, go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Michael. I was late to this discussion and didn't understand exactly why it hasn't been tabled. And I'm sure my colleagues all have some legitimate concerns, and hopefully that these concerns will be straightened out in the near future in anticipation of a positive vote for the grant. Certainly, if there's a way of improving the interface between the Leadership Council and our county, I'm sure the chairman would be all for that. I mean, and I'm sure all the board members, I certainly would, because what we've got is jobs on the line and feeding people. And, you know, when you get past all the politics, we need to support our people and help them. And the more jobs we have, the better the tax base, the better schools will be, and that's really what we should be about in this room.
I could just add one thing, and that is what we work towards significantly, is filling all the jobs that we have out there. And we have significant open jobs that Tony can certainly talk to. But our job is to get out there and build awareness of all these jobs and help connect them to certainly vocational training, training at universities, so that we can fill those roles. We work very hard with Scott Air Force Base to keep all those transitioning airmen here that become leaders in your communities, leaders at our companies, and that's a really important part. And in the future, we'd like to invite all of you to come and meet all of our chairmen and learn about all the things that we do in a special meeting, so you can meet all the great people that are part of the Leadership Council on an ongoing basis, so you can see what is being done every day.
So if I can speak, I would point out that one of the subgroups that we are able to support with our Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act funds are transitioning military. They've been in our dislocated worker category, so they are a target group for ourselves as well. So.
If there's any further discussion or comments? Were you going to say something, Mr. Paul? All right, if not, then I guess I would entertain a motion to for the Southwestern Leadership Council resolution to approve it.
I'll make a motion.
Okay. I'll second. Ms. Gorman, second by Mr. Foster. Any final chance for discussion or comments? It'll be a roll call vote. Ms. Gorman?
Yes.
All right. Ms. Dalton?
Yes.
Yes. Ms. Kuhn?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Ms. Harris?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Yes, Mr. Chapman, you need to...
Yes, I want to thank you for inviting me to the meeting today, and also for inviting me to say something about parliamentary procedure. So let me read this so everybody understands we did this right.
So you can sleep at night?
Okay. You can't... A motion to take from the table, can't interrupt the speaker who has the floor, must be seconded, is not debatable, can't be amended, requires a majority vote, cannot be reconsidered. There's nothing in there about who can ask to untable it. So I would merely say that I think that I was correct, and Ms. Cynthia was also correct.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. And thank you, too, for all the guests that are here. We appreciate you coming and giving us your input. Feel free to stick around if you'd like, but then we're going to kind of continue
thank
on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
So will we just bring the resolutions to the county board meeting?
Yeah, I think that's what they usually do. They usually catch us right before the meeting, and then we sign it.
Shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Since we taped it,
so next up on the item for the committee would be the bills and the purchase or new business.
Yeah, we'll get it to you.
First item there is the bills and purchase request report.
And the vote. We shouldn't have voted on it today, should we?
If it's tabled, you have to vote on it. Yeah.
We can?
Yeah.
I thought it had to be on the agenda.
Well, it was. It was in the old business.
I mean, as proper form, you know, like saying that's what we were voting on, I thought it would have to be. You should probably have to bring it back next month. We'll go get
we could ask
Chapman.
State attorney.
No, it's done the right way.
All right, so I trust everybody's had a chance to review the bills and purchase request report. Assuming so, I'd entertain a motion to approve those.
So moved.
Second.
We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All right, roll call vote. Ms. Gorman?
Aye.
Ms. Dalton?
Yes.
Ms. Toon?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Ms. Harris?
Yes.
And Mr. Jones?
Aye.
Report, the purchase report passes unanimously. Next item is a resolution authorizing a special service contract with the National Development Council and Fact Sheet. Traditionally, you guys, did somebody speak about these first? How do you? Yeah. Go ahead and give an update. Yeah.
So this is our standard NDC contract. We're actually shortening it down to 6 months instead of 12 months and taking the cost down with that. What NDC does for us is they provide us with the mathematical knowledge to do subsidy layering on our home projects. So it's an extra set of eyes to make sure we're matching up with IDA, matching up with HUD, matching up with the banks, which is always nice to have. They assign three people to us. Joe Gray's been here a number of times, and I sent out a fact sheet that also had all the actual projects that have actually been completed by them in Madison County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
And we haven't renewed this for a while because we didn't have a need for it, so we saved that money for several months and now we can use it again.
We do have two home projects that we were awarded over the summer that are coming to the time to do the subsidy layering and to do, make sure our numbers are...
That's Highland and Granite City, right?
Yes. We were lucky enough to tour Granite City last week. That's going to be a wonderful project.
Those were those two items that we had the big meeting in the board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yes. Is there any questions, further questions that James will have?
I make a motion, we approve.
Got a motion by Ms. Malone.
Second.
Second by Ms. Gorman. There's no further discussion. We'll do a roll call vote. Ms. Gorman.
Aye.
Ms. Dalton.
Yes.
Coon.
Yes.
Mr. Foster.
Yes.
Mr. Malone.
Aye.
Ms. Harris.
Yes.
Mr. Dalton.
Aye.
Passing unanimously. Next item on the agenda is a resolution authorizing a grant for public infrastructure loan to the Village of Maryville and their fact sheet.
Thank you. The Village of Maryville is asking for $59,298.48, or 40 cents, sorry, for 14 Motorola portable radios that will be compatible with the StarCom system. The Village of Maryville's police department radios, their handhelds are 10 years old and obsolete and not fixable anymore, and that is why they're here requesting these funds. They want it over 4 years at 3% interest. And our mayor from Maryville, Mayor Schmidt, is here. Do you have any questions?
I am here to answer any questions. I appreciate the board's time and ask for your consideration in this. This was not a budgeted item for the Village of Maryville, which is why we are asking for the four-year loan so that we could better prepare our budget. Just a little background, as Lisa said, our radios are 10 years old. We recently had one repaired by Motorola, which cost us nearly $600 just to repair it. And they told us then, this has been within the last month, that if we wait till next month to get things fixed, they may not be able to fix them because the parts are not available. So, a lot of police departments are going through this right now as these radios are becoming obsolete.
One other thing, Mayor had brought a bill of sale that they'll get a special deal if they commit to purchase by the end of December. So that's why we are here.
Correct. By the price that was mentioned is about a $12,000 discount over what the price would be. There will be a price increase here in the very near future. So, unfortunately, time is of the essence for us.
I can't remember, which I'm glad for you. I want it to be a 3%, but wasn't there a time when we were talking about 4%?
We were.
I mean, I want it to be 3%.
We did not try to.
Sorry,
I believe.
I'm not changing horses in the middle of the train.
We talked about that last January, and at
we
that,
did discuss.
I believe it was January. It might have been February, but we believed at that time we were competitive. So we were going to wait another year, which I believe will be January again, to make sure we're competitive again. So right now, if we lock in the 3%, and if we change in the future, then all future loans could be at a different rate. But we would, of course, okay, talk to you about the change and just not ultimately commit to it.
Do you have a question?
I'm trying to remember.
I mean,
I'm
going to entertain a motion to approve the resolution for the loan to the Village of Maryville.
Second.
We got a motion and a second. Any final discussion? Mr. Jones and Ms. Dalton.
Thank you.
No? We're going to do a roll call vote. Ms. Gorman?
Yes.
Ms. Dalton?
Yes.
Yes.
Ms. Coon? Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Ms. Malone?
Aye.
Ms. Harris?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Aye.
Fantastic. Our next item is the public meeting for the Consolidated Annual Performance Report to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development.
Yes. See you again. All right. So, annually, of course, we go ahead and submit our annual report, we call it the CAPR, to HUD, displaying how we have spent our annual allocation for both CDBG and the HUD projects. I do have a draft copy here. I just brought one draft. This is the breakdown, the really quick, what we've done. But I'll put this here in case anybody wants to look that over. It's also online. But We're talking October 1st, 2017 through September 30th, 2018 is our fiscal year. So that is what we are reporting on for both the CDBG and the home program. If you go to the second page, we've done a pretty comprehensive breakdown of what we've done over the past year with housing rehabilitation. So we have really made that a priority this past year to get homes up to snuff, be it new roofs, new furnaces, new electrical, new plumbing. Also falling in there are our accessibility ramps in our weatherization program. We have had a combined total of 143 first-time home buyers throughout Madison County. We've done some major upgrades at the Woodland Park with the Collinsville, the old Northgate homes. We've also done 15 different public facility projects from sewer lining to new water mains, to drainage, to some very, very comprehensive park improvements at Gordon Moore Park in Alton. We've done a lot of asphalt, and we've also purchased a new fire truck equipment for East Alton, as well as paid down the fire truck loan for Granite City. We've done several code enforcement opportunities through Granite City and Alton. We've employed 33 youth between Alton and Granite Summer Youth Program, provided a dispatcher for Granite City, and then coordinated Madison County's coordinated entry program as well. We've also done a combined total through three different programs of 61 demolitions. So in a nutshell, that's what we've done this year. We're busy. But I'm bringing this all to you to see if you guys have any questions or comments regarding how we've spent our money, if you like to see us do something more. Oh, also, there's a chart, a handy chart. It shows our goals across the board relative to our one-year goal. Yeah.
I have one question.
Yeah.
Do you provide, and this is from my own personal knowledge, do you provide assistance for people who receive loans?
We do. We do down payment assistance.
Down payment assistance.
Yes. Okay. And James can probably provide better detail.
It's a five-year forgivable lien. We can go up to $5,000. And the individual has to have a certain credit score, go through HUD housing counseling. And yeah, we did 134 of them. It was quite a large number this past year.
Yep, no problem. Any other questions about what we are doing?
So Lisa, just a little background. This would be like the public comment period, I guess?
This
so
is the
for
public
2 weeks
comment
or
period.
How long does it run?
Well, this is our kickoff meeting. So, yes, it goes through. It goes, I put it on the very last sheet. It goes through the 27th. You guys are willing to chat me up right now and I'll record your comment, or if you're really shy, you can go ahead and email me. I've gone ahead and included that as well. All comments, and I will record your comment in here asking about the down payment, not a problem. I'll record them all in our main document, and those will be submitted to HUD. HUD does require that we have public input on all of our processes from application to reporting, so that is what this is for, is the reporting portion. And they kind of get mad at us if we don't have any comments, so I'm using yours as a comment. Yes, Mr. Chairman.
On this chart, do you ever put what we've done last year?
We do have one. It's relative, okay. We're in the third year of our five-year goal. That's the other thing. We have a five-year consolidated annual action plan. So we're in the third year. So this is relative to what we did this year and what we've done over the past 3 years, because we're in the third year of the program. So
it looks like your targets, your expected or your goals are very ambitious.
Some of them are, but it depends on the unit type. We are really really on target for many of ours, many of our projects. One that I can say that we're probably not on target for is our commercial rehabilitation program in Alton. It's just because they haven't really been that active. And quite honestly, I don't know if they're going to keep going down that path or not. We've only done one over the past 3 years. So,
looking at the chart, if, for example, some of the numbers, the actual for this year, if it was similar to last year, I'm wondering why the goals maybe were so large, why the numbers were so large.
Okay. So over the first percentage complete, I had to get my bearings. That is relative to this 1 year snapshot out of the 5 years. And the second, the very last column of this percentage complete, that's in comparison over the where we are at over the overall in the 3 years to the five.
The first column is the 5 year goal. What you're saying.
Right. So the one that's the first actual percentage that's small, that's our snapshot for this year compared to our 5 year goal. The second percentage complete is our snapshot and where we're at added and compiled to the last 3 years. Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah, I guess I'm wondering on
this is HUD's chart and it's not
on,
the greatest.
On the last one, under 2.7, where it says program delivering technical assistance, I'm a little confused. Your 5 year plan had a zero, but then your one year budget or expected was 72, and you hit 72 exactly. Or did you make your budget after you achieved your actual?
Okay, again, that's HUD's chart. And for whatever reason, they put it under homeowner housing rehabilitated. And we actually reported under the other category. So their chart is kind of wonky, and it won't let me in it to fix it. So actually, that second 2.7 is actually the actual numbers we've done. I can't really explain it any better, but they don't give us a great mechanism.
So that's the template number. That first one is kind of a template that you can't modify, so mm-hmm. you've corrected
no,
it.
No, and James will. We worked very long on this chart because this was a pre-filled in chart by HUD, and none of it was right, so we had to go back and pull handful numbers and try and get to this best we could.
We have to use this chart.
And then I exported it from HUD or from the HUD database. And this is what I got. So sorry about that.
No.
It's not a perfect system.
Thanks for your work on it.
It's not a perfect system. But I do my best. Any other questions? But we are really working towards our overall goals. But this is the third year. And next year, we'll probably be coming back saying, hey, we're adjusting our goals for the fourth and fifth year.
Has anybody had conversations with Alton while they're not doing the commercial rehabilitation?
It's just they just get them as they come, and there's no real plan out, to my knowledge, of we're going to do this, because they're privately owned.
Right.
It's a tough program. That's the facade.
It is, yeah.
I guess the last one you did was up North Alton at the plaza there?
No.
No?
No, we did Nikki G's and then...
Nikki G's, which is now...
They're not close.
Ruby?
Close.
We didn't do Ruby's. We were supposed to do Ruby's, but Ruby's fell through. And then the detailing place next to the...
It's off the road that starts with an M.
Oh, PJ's?
Milton Road.
Milton Road. Off of Milton,
oh, Milton Road. Road.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know that.
So,
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we haven't done one in a while. And I don't, I full disclosure, I do not know if they're still in business or not, but...
They can only get up to $10,000, so it's not like a full
right, it's not like you're going to rebuild the whole building.
The other thing with them is we require them to do federal prevailing wage rates. So if a homeowner, for example, is very handy, he could probably do this work a lot cheaper than hiring someone out and paying them federal prevailing wage rates. So it's kind of a tip of the scale.
Yeah.
On what, is it going to be the most value for their money at the end of the day?
Yeah.
Will the $10,000 offset them paying the federal prevailing wage rate? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
Gotcha, thank you.
Any other questions?
I just had a question on the CDBG application. I know my favorite subject is always the scoring criteria.
We're going to get there next. Next dish.
I just want to make sure all the new members have an opportunity to start that process now.
That's why we waited.
Opportunity, notice, she said.
No other question.
I said opportunity. Notice how she said that.
So, and there's nothing, this is just the kickoff of the public meeting, so nothing you need us to vote on, right?
No, it's just information, so you know what we're doing, and if you have any feedback, you can give it to me, and I'll submit it.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. So next up, we have the approval of the fiscal year 2019 CDBG competitive funding criteria, which...
Me again. All right, so I handed out a color version of this just because it really highlighted the changes that... I think I gave you...
I got it.
Okay. So the red is what we're looking for, and a lot of it in this first several pages are the dates that are changed from last year to this year. I do want to say, before I start, there on Thursday at 9:30 in the chambers, there is a training on this, and I believe both of you have signed up for that. Did you say no? Okay. Well, you're welcome to come if you'd like. But anyway, so here's a quick version of this. If you guys have any questions, please feel free to let me know.
It will come back. If you have an opportunity, it's probably good. Well, worth your while. I mean, it's like the training you did for us over in...
Yes. So if you do have time at 9:30 on Thursday, it'd be really, really advantageous. But if you can't and you do have questions, please call me. I'd be happy to meet with you about it individually.
This Thursday.
This Thursday, the 13th, at 9:30 up in the chambers. So we're going to go really quick, the high, medium, and low priorities. Again, we didn't request any of these to be changed. High would be sewer, water, tap-ons, fire station equipment. Medium would be street, curb and gutter improvements, sidewalks, bridge replacements, and senior centers. And low and not fundable would be parks, or anything that would trigger relocation. I just wanted to remind you of what a low mod income area is, which are where we target our programs at or our projects. And that is an area that is overall 51% low mod or higher. Yes.
And if I'm correct, I think last year we made some modifications and we changed some of these priorities, or one of them, right?
We moved up the senior
citizens from low priority to medium priority.
Yep. Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. So just if you're wondering if any of your constituents' projects might be in a low mod income area, under our website, under the community development block grant portion, we now have this module for HUD where you can type in an address if you know an address that's smack dab in there. So I did an example for Thursday and typed in our office's address, and it's not low mod, but it comes in up with what the percentage low mod is and whatnot. So that's really helpful and pretty accurate. So, but the per capita requests for the leveraged funds, that worked out well, we thought, last year. So we went ahead and kept that this per capita. So, I'm mixing subjects in my mind. So how many people are benefiting from the dollar amount is how we did that breakdown here. With the documented evidence being like the state of Illinois had a documented, like EPA, that there was an issue, got extra points as well. And then we did go back to page 7 with the leveraged funds for the jurisdictions under 1,000, between 100, 1,000, 500,000, and over 5,000. We thought that really worked well last year.
So
Excuse me.
Yes.
I'm going to leave.
Okay.
Well, I have to go. Good evening. Christmas program. So I.
That's important. No worries. Thank you, Judy.
I think there's nothing else to vote on. Right.
It's probably the approval of this. Judy. I think it's
oh yeah. Key. Thank you.
Right. Let me know if you have any questions. So.
You said don't forget your code.
Right. But the area that there was some change, I know you guys have to go to committee here, and then for committee in a little bit. If you turn to page 14, I attended a training this summer regarding the super circular, the 2 CFR 200, and reporting. And we have to just kind of beef up some of our questions because of that. It really isn't going to affect any of the pointing, but B2... we weren't really getting accurate question answers, so it says there, please don't attach an exhibit, because we were searching all over the application for some people's items. But on page 15, it's about the detailed budget, and we're really asking people, hey, if you're going to leverage funds, that's great, but how are you getting these funds? Are you getting them through a loan? If you got a loan, is the loan secured? Because if the loan's secured, if the loan's not secured, should we be really considering those as leveraged funds? So it's questions to know if the money is in line. Okay, so you want to use your money from the general funds. Well, do you have an obligation ordinance on file showing that those funds are really going to be earmarked for this project in the future? Because we would ask those things for loans that we would give, so we want to make sure the people that are getting money for us for these grants have this stuff in place, and then we don't have an oops moment and then have to come back to you and reallocate some more money. So that's basically though what that read through B16 is. Questions like that.
It's more specific detail on the part.
It's more specific detail. I'm not asking you to change how you score anything. So, and then going to page 22 and 23, it's talking about the federal awards that each specific municipality received. If a municipality receives more than $750,000 in federal funds, they're required to do some special audits, and if that's the case, then they owe us some extra paperwork. And that's just an easy way for us to identify, hey, we need to collect some more stuff from them. And then I just put a reminder in on page 29 that the community is responsible for themselves compiling their own ADA self-evaluation and transition plan resolution. I didn't give them an example, but this is just kind of a placeholder for them to say, hey, you have to get this in for us. And I know you're dying to ask a question.
No, I'm good.
Not a lot of changes this year, except for, you know, just things that we're required to ask. But it's not going to change how we would grade.
Well, we'll see how that is when they actually, the projects come out. Then we might have to relook at everything.
Okay, I don't anticipate having to change
it.
He's enjoying it right now. Okay. Oh, this is okay. We'll slide right through this stuff.
Yeah, no problem.
Maybe we should start in June this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see the actual decisions are made in the June or July meeting.
Yes.
Right. I think I'm on vacation. Yeah.
Me too.
Me too. You mean a video of it?
It depends. Why we say June or July is it depends on when HUD releases their allocation to us. Last year it was really at the end, so it got held till July. Not that we wanted to, but that's how it rolled.
I do have a quick question. Okay. So you mentioned there was a website, now you could type in an address. Uh-huh. Previously we talked about how sometimes it was a challenge to determine areas. Does this help, or is
no,
this something
not
new?
Really.
Oh, it doesn't.
Okay. Because it really depends on how much we have a community planning. They have to know where the water drains from for a project. It's not just where we do the drainage work and the ditch work at. We need to know where the water comes from or the poo comes from. It's It's what we need to know. So they usually have to work with an engineer to really determine that. But that determines the project area, and that's what the problem is. Does that make sense? Just because right here is the ditch doesn't mean the water is just coming here. It's coming from uphill down.
Okay.
So we track where we want to know where the water's coming from, because where it's coming from to the source is the whole project area. And that's where we come into the problem of
getting them qualified for.
It's making sure we have the whole project area. Stuff runs downhill, doesn't it, Mr. Jones?
That's questions. Any other questions, comments?
Thanks. All right, well, my emails, well, you all know how to get a hold of me, I'm sure. Feel free.
Thank you, Lisa. There's no other questions. I guess we need a motion to approve the funding criteria for the 2019 CDBG.
So moved. Oh, second.
Oh, wow.
Okay, thank
Ms.
Gorman.
Who
made a motion?
Mr. Malone.
And
no other comments or discussion? All right, Ms. Gorman?
Aye.
Ms. Dalton?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Ms. Harris?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Aye.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Final item is the administrative report, employment and training update.
So a couple quick things. On November 14th, 15th, Deputy Director of DCL, Julio Rodriguez, and one of his managers, Patrick Campbell, were in our area. They were in St. Clair County on the 14th. Here on the 15th, he met with my staff, talked about different things we were doing. We went to SIU and talked about some of the things we're doing out there and finished up at INSERC, the Carbon Ethanol Research Center, because they're part of the grant application we had applied for the apprenticeships. They brought their Chicago weather with them. That was the day it snowed, so, and they laughed as people were all concerned about it. So, but if you recall, we had talked about the apprenticeship grant we had applied for with St. Clair County for $500,000. While Julio was here, he kept telling people we couldn't tell anybody, but we were getting it. So what we found out last week, we had some questions to answer. They are awarding us $400,000 of the $500,000 we asked for. There's 11 areas in the state that they're funding. We're one of two. There was two parts of this. If you recall, there was an intermediary where we're actually setting up apprenticeship programs that we were going to work with people, businesses, and training providers to do. And then the other half was hiring a navigator, individual that was going to work in our system to go out and create more apprenticeships. So we're one of two areas that were awarded both of those legs. They said we had originally applied for $500,000. The budget that came back, they recommended cutting out some of the apprenticeship programs. Since both us and St. Clair County still have funds available, our decision was to keep them at those numbers, and we'll each fund $50,000 to get it back up to the $500,000. That way we can hit the numbers we originally planned. We also talked about Jersey and Calhoun County joining our workforce area at some point between July of 19 to July of 2021. On November 13th, Jersey County Board passed a resolution saying that they wanted to move from that local workforce area to our workforce area. The county board chairman in the subsequent email said, I want to be there July of 19. So last Thursday, myself and the state rep attended the Calhoun County Board meeting, where they passed a similar resolution. So it's gung-ho, we're moving forward for July of 19. A lot of administrative things in the next 6 months. We're working with Bruce in HR and also Christy Swick from our labor lawyer to set up an intergovernmental agreement, because they had some stipulations about keeping an office in Jerseyville and hiring people from up there. So it's doesn't appear to be a problem from the labor side, and like I said, we're moving forward. People who work up there work for a nonprofit now, so they're both going to see substantial increases when they join us. So they're very happy. And third thing we've talked about in the past is the research project we're doing with the Master of Marketing research student. Thought I was going to bring all these results here today. The presentation was supposed to be last Friday. They delayed it to next Friday. When I'm in Chicago, so now we've scheduled another presentation on the 18th in our office. So if anyone's interested, 14th at 3:30 at SIU, or the 18th at 9 a.m. at Wood River, we're getting the results of that. I know people have other meetings to go to, so I'll save all this money I'm going to spend till next month. We have to replace our computers like everybody else is all. So.
Well, I was just going to try to pass out the flyers for you about our homeless connected point time count. And since it's already past 5 o'clock, I'll just leave it at that. I should read the flyer.
I'll probably talk about it.
We'll talk about it.
Run downstairs.
We'll talk about it.
I think a couple of us are.
The only thing I wanted to make sure of, did we sign everything we need to? I was only given 2. Do we need to sign anything for the Village of Maryville?
The Village of Maryville, that one?
Did the Maryville one go around?
I didn't.
I don't think it was in there.
It wasn't in my.
Here, I have a copy.
Okay. Tony, are you getting your computers that we had agreed to?
Right,
you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's all. Rob Dorman came down last Friday and we went through what we need and everything. So we have to find out now from Jerseyville what they have in their building as well. So.
So you should only sign one resolution, the NDC one?
We got that one.
You got that one, and then this is the Maryville one right here?
Reports.
And the purchase reports, okay. Who's made a motion to adjourn?
We haven't done that yet.
Okay.
I guess the housekeeping, we're good on dates, right? I saw you included the date for the 2019 meeting. Sounds everybody's good on that, right? Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And then the only other thing I was going to say is if you want to just go to an electronic copy of the agenda and everything to let Judy know, I guess, or...
Yeah, we can send out an email, I guess.
Yeah, just maybe send out an email to see if anybody wants only an electronic copy. But that's totally up to you all. No pressure there. If there's nothing else, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So,
Richard Jones, seconded by Dalton. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Hey, adjourn.
Thank you
all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce.
You too.
502, not bad.
Yes. Hey, I hate you.
We figured that out.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I knew it was something.
I guess that's it, right?